And this is AM 580 WILL and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason in on this Friday morning with a look at what's been happening in agriculture. Yesterday, as you know, of course, probably by now, the Farm Bill failed to pass through the legislation, that is, the House Agriculture, not through the House Agriculture, but through the House of Representatives after more than a year of trying to get to the floor and a vote on the Farm Bill. Leaders of the House Ag Committee swallowed really hard yesterday in watching that Farm Bill go down in a 234 to 195 vote. 62 Republicans joined 172 Democrats in voting to defeat the bill. Only 24 Democrats joined 171 Republicans in voting for the bill. It's likely gone now as a quick summer conference with the Senate, which would have passed the bill onto the president's desk. That probably no longer will be happening. And the defeat yesterday highlighted the distinctions in the political parties. One House representative of the Republican leadership really can't caucus its own rally its own caucus, that is, to back one of their own chairmen in passing legislation. And second, the Democrats are increasingly willing to stand together to draw a line on cuts to nutrition programs, as fewer Democrats have meaningful ties to agriculture in their districts. The House voted failed, even though it appeared the House Ag Committee leaders were effectively managing that bill. We'll try to follow up more with what's been happening in the Ag Committees and with the Farm Bill and the legislation as we make our way through the summer months.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey believes that healthy businesses strengthen our local economy. They have a commercial banking team with 20-plus years of experience providing lending solutions to meet unique business needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Now here's Drew Lerner with today's agricultural weather forecast.
Weather conditions across the Midwest will continue to be mostly ideal for another 5 to 7 days as we get involved with some warmer temperatures. Even though we don't get much rain during this period of time, there is plenty of moisture in the soil. Crops will be stimulated into developing more aggressively by daily temperatures running in the middle 80s through the lower 90s. Most of the heat will not become any greater than that. We do have high humidity, though, and that will be a concern in some producers' and traders' minds for a while. Low temperatures may not drop below 70 degrees at times over these next several days. Now, there is a stronger cold air mass that will be coming into the Midwest at the latter half of next week. Probably Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of next week, we'll likely see some cooling take place, especially in northern and eastern parts of the Midwest. The cool-off will come with a little bit of rainfall initially, but the rain does not look like it will reach very far into the western Corn Belt. Maybe a limited amount of rainfall will occur in those areas, but portions of the Great Lakes region and easternmost sections of the Midwest could see some moderate amounts of rainfall as the colder air settles into the region. Once the cold air is in place, rainfall potentials become a little bit low once again, and not only in the eastern Midwest, but the western Corn Belt as well, and that will set the stage for perhaps a little crop stress developing as we move from the first week of July into the second week, especially if there's nothing more in the way of significant precipitation that occurs during that period of time, and the temperatures do drift a little bit warmer than normal once again, as is expected. The ridge of high pressure that everyone was so worried about earlier this week over the heart of the Midwest is now advertised to be mostly in the Rocky Mountain region and the High Plains region during a big part of the coming full week to maybe 8 or 9 days. At some point in early July, the ridge will drift just a little further to the east, anchoring itself in the plains, and that will likely give the western Corn Belt a little more reason for warming up and still continuing in a drier biased mode. A close monitoring of the western Corn Belt, most of the central and southern plains, and the Delta will be required as we move forward through these next couple of weeks because of the dry and warm bias that's going to be evolving. For the U.S. southeastern states, it looks like a very good environment with scattered showers and thunderstorms and seasonable temperatures prevailing through a big part of this forecast period. In contrast to that, we'll see temperatures up into the 90s and over 100 degrees on a regular basis across the west central and southwestern U.S. plains, causing stress there, but promoting the winter wheat maturation and harvest progress across some of that region. But summer crops will continue to be in rather dire straits for significant amounts of moisture. Even though it has rained here recently, this would include portions of West Texas as well as the heart of the U.S. central plains. back into the heart of the U.S. Midwest, we would expect the second week of the two-week forecast to bring warmer air back across the region. We may cool off a week from now down to some 70-degree readings, perhaps even a few upper 60s across the Great Lakes region. We'll keep the cool air around for a few days, but gradual warming will replace that. We'll all of a sudden be seeing temperatures back into the 70s and 80s as we move into that first week of July. Precipitation prospects in the eastern part of the Midwest during the second week of the outlook is somewhat reduced and restricted. I wouldn't expect to see a lot of improvement, but if we get the shower and thunderstorm activity that's advertised when the cold air comes in late next week, a lot of those crops will stay in favorable condition with a lot of subsoil moisture still in place. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Our thanks to Drew Lerner, of course, for his update of the weather forecast each and every day here on Will Ag. You can find him in the Will Ag Ag Morning podcast at willag.org. Here's what the numbers look like in Chicago from the CME Group at this hour. December corn is down just 0.75 cents at $5.59 and a half, and the nearby July at $6.70 and a half are 2.75 cents lower. July beans are up 6.5 cents, 7 cents at $15.04 and a half, and November beans at $12.82 are just about 3 cents lower on the morning. On the phone line to take up what happened in the overnight trade and as the market opened for the pit trade is Bill Mayor. He's with Strategic Farm Marketing out of Champaign, Illinois. Good morning to you, Bill.
Good morning, Todd.
How are you today?
Good, good.
We'll take up what the overnight looked like to you and then how trade has been ensuing since the pit opened.
Well, we've had, I guess, two things here, I think, that we're looking at. Especially, I'm kind of concentrating a little bit on the corn here this morning. But first, we have the big report is out a week from today. And, you know, that's had major effects on the markets, 12 out of the last 14 reports, I think, that we've had. And today, then, we have option expiration of the July options. And it's kind of an interesting situation. We have about 600,000 total options that's going to be going off the board. And if you multiply that out, that's about 3 billion bushels. Now, of course, they're not all in nearby strikes. And really, we probably have 670 strikes and the 660 strikes on the July options is probably the most important. But why that's important, I think, today and going into the report next week is that we, you know, a lot of your speculators, a lot of your funds even anymore, when they buy or sell the futures, they'll come in with an option to protect that position. And once these options go off today, then their protection is gone, so they have to probably liquidate some futures or change their position some. So I think we're going to see a lot of volatility, I guess, bottom line.
Do you know which direction that might be?
Well, no, I think we'll probably stay within the range, you know, that we've had. But I think we will probably end up being around either that 560 or 570 strike price as we come to the end of the day. We're trading right around there now as far as the July futures go.
So your expectation would be that will it be the July futures or the December futures or both that you see the volatility in?
I may have misspoke there. The 660 or 670 strike.
Okay, yeah.
And, and we do have some short-dated options that are going off, and the 550 and 560 on those for the December futures are important, but there's not a lot of volume there. So.
Yeah, so my question remains, and I think I've got the answer, but it will be so the July options are expiring, and you're expecting volatility then in the July futures because they'll be unprotected and may want to roll those forward or just simply get out of them.
And I think that will result in some volatility across the board as they roll to other months and that type of thing.
I suppose what that really tells us for the hedgers in the crew is that they should simply ignore that part of it and look forward to the December contract for the new crop, right?
Yeah, and we've already seen some of the commercials put their bids versus the September on the old crop here already, so that's pretty easy for the hedger to do if he's looking at new crop. He should be paying attention to the December anyhow.
By the way, the other thing you mentioned earlier on that most of the grain stocks and acreage reports had some kind of impact, or at least that report day, on the marketplace. Do you know which report was more likely to have an impact? Was it the grain stocks or the acreage report?
It seems like it's been the stocks. It's been in, you know, I mean, you don't know for sure,
right.
But the surprise has been in the stocks, let's put it that way.
Okay. Thank you so much for taking the time with us today.
Thank you, Todd.
Mm-hmm. Bill Mayer is with Strategic Farm Marketing. He's out of Champaign, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report to take a look at the agricultural futures markets. Remember, we'll be back just before the top of the hour again with another update of those markets. You are listening to Illinois Public Media. This is WILO 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD3 Urbana.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Well, let's take a look, if we can, at what has happening in the weather forecast that comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Well, that says that we'll see sunny skies today, of course, and a 91-degree high, partly cloudy this evening and 71. That low will remain fairly high, as Drew Lerner said, over the next couple of days. Tomorrow, isolated thunderstorms in the area and 92 with a low of 71 on Saturday evening. Mostly sunny on Sunday and 92 and 71 degrees for the low on Sunday night. By the time we get to Monday, mostly sunny skies and 90. Again, just a 72-degree low on Monday night. This is WILL AM 580.